Morning, everybody. It's good to see you all, especially if you're here for the first time. Welcome. My name is Pastor John. We're so glad that you guys are at Edgewater. Just a little story about myself, in case you don't know me that well. I grew up taking piano lessons and playing piano. I haven't played in a number of years, but when it came time for our kids to get lessons, I decided I'd go ahead and teach them. And so I've been doing that every Wednesday afternoon, giving them lessons. And Becca, who often watches our kids, came by and watched our kids on Friday, and they were very excited to show off all their piano skills. So they were playing all these songs, and then they said to Becca, "But Daddy's a lot better than us." And she goes, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, he can play Itsy Bitsy Spider." So that's my claim to fame. I want you guys to know something about me in that respect. Hey, if you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and pull out your message notes. In your bulletin, they say, "Bad Roots." And while you are doing that, just a few things. Our fast, our awakening fast, ends this Saturday. How many of you have been in some form participating in the awakening fast this season? Great. So we are going to be able to break our fast on Saturday. I want to encourage you to use this week to continue to devote yourselves to God, to pray, to use this time as a time to focus on Him and grow. We had our annual celebration last Monday. It was great, and I want to just let you know that we have a leadership team that helps shepherd this church. Tim and Cecilia Stone, Diane Rodriguez, two people stepped down. My wife Becky and Al Borges stepped down after multiple years of service. I want to give them a round of applause wherever they are. And I want to introduce two of the new leaders. Vern Taylor will be on our leadership team. He's starting a new year term. I believe he's teaching the kids right now. And then Paula Gothold is in the back over there. So let's welcome them as well. And in your bulletins, you'll see something about a class we're holding on February 12th called First Down. It's our membership class. It's a chance for you to learn everything about Edgewater, our beliefs, our values, how we do church, what shaped the beginning of our church, what are our goals and our vision. And if you are at all interested in taking that class and exploring membership, I want to invite you to sign up. It's on February 12th, a Sunday, from 3 to 7 p.m. at Mountain Mike's Pizza. Dinner is included. You can go through the whole class, and at the end, you have a decision as to whether you want to apply for membership. In other words, you can go through the class and decide not to apply, no problem, but some of you will want to become a member when we talk about what is membership. You can sign up for that class on the back of your connection card, so please do that if you're interested. We'll get in touch with you about all the details for that class. And finally, you guys all have this little sticker called the Bible app. Do you guys have that in your bulletins? If you have a phone or an iPad or an Android or whatever, iPad, you can download this app. It's a great one. I have it on my phone. We want all of us to be students of God's word, and it's very easy to access it. Amen? Let me pray for us as we get into God's word. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here, worshiping you with my brothers and sisters. And I pray, God, that wherever we're at, that you would speak to us right where we are, and you would help us take that next step towards you this morning. Lord, we don't want this to be a vacuum here where we learn something about you and have it not apply at all to our lives. So I pray that what you do in our lives today affects us tomorrow and affects us this week, and we be changed people by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we've been going through this series called Crazy Christians, going through the book of 1 Corinthians, talking about a church that was literally crazy, doing very strange things, having weird arguments, weird sexual relationships, and weird ideas. And we just spent the last 3 weeks, because Paul was answering their questions about marriage and singleness, and now a new question pops up. And to give some background, let me just tell you a story. Two Halloweens ago, one of the churches that I deeply respect in our community held a big carnival in our area, and my wife and family went. We had a great time. And on the way out, they passed out a pamphlet. And as I got home, I opened the pamphlet, and the topic of the pamphlet was Halloween. And the gist of the pamphlet was this, that Halloween has pagan roots. The reason Halloween started has to do with a celebration that was taking place that was in fear of evil spirits. So people would hold bonfires, pray against warding off evil spirits, would dress up as evil spirits to scare them away. And that's where we get Halloween from. So the gist of this pamphlet was, as Christians, you should never celebrate Halloween because it has pagan and bad roots. Got it? So the question is, well, wait a minute. If something has bad or pagan roots, how much can we as Christians be involved? The other question is, how far do you go with this? How many of you know that Christmas has bad roots? Christmas was originally a pagan holiday. I don't know all the history behind it, but it was a pagan holiday that the church eventually converted to a Christian holiday. But if you go back, it actually has weird pagan roots. In fact, the Puritans in this country, they outlawed Christmas in their territories and wrote letters to the government saying you need to outlaw this holiday because it has pagan bad roots. So as Christians, how much can we get involved in something that has bad roots? What about Harry Potter books? I mean, here are some books that are kid stories that are really fun to read, but the author isn't Christian. There's sorcery and witchcraft in it. Are we allowed to read those books, and do we get contaminated by doing these things? Here's another example. How many of you know that why do we say God bless you when someone sneezes? Anyone know? There was a fear that people were losing their spirits when you sneeze. And so people go, whoa, God bless you. Okay, you're covered. So do we stop saying God bless you because it has pagan beliefs? The idea is there's lots of things in our culture and in countries where if you look at the origins, they are far from God, they have bad roots, and sometimes as Christians we get in these situations and say, are we allowed to be involved in this, or do we get contaminated from it, and how do we make those kinds of decisions? Well, that's what we're going to talk about, because the Corinthians, this church I'm talking about, had the exact same questions, except their issue was a little different, but same principles. It had to do with eating hamburgers, eating meat. See, in their culture, this is what would happen. All the meat in their country was first sacrificed to the idols in their country in a temple, a pagan ritual celebrating non-Christian gods. All the meat was there. And then after it was sacrificed, some would be eaten, but the extra meat would go in the marketplace and be sold in your local Safeway or Winco. And when you went to a friend's house, you'd have meat. But this meat was just sacrificed to an evil pagan god. So the Corinthians are wondering, can we eat this stuff? I mean, are we going to be affected because this meat was sacrificed to an idol? What are we allowed to do? Now, on one hand, if we eat with them, well, people think that we're worshiping this god, but if we don't eat with them, then we can never go over to our friend's house. Hey, you want to come over for a barbecue? You doing vegetables? Because I can't come over other ways. So you get removed from culture if you don't participate. So the big question is, what as Christians can we participate in if something has bad roots? You guys with me? Now what Paul's going to do is he's going to answer this question. He's going to talk about two things. He's going to talk about what God wants you to know, knowledge. And he's going to talk about but how God wants you to love. And he's saying these two things need to come together when you answer this question. Knowledge and love. And so he goes on, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Read with me. Now about food sacrificed to idols, he's addressing this. Here's what we know. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So Paul's going to step his argument. He's like, I know you're asking about whether we can eat hamburgers, but let me first step back and tell you there's two things you need to know. There's certain things that we know as Christians. I'm going to tell you that. But knowledge by itself is no good. If you just rely on what you know as a believer, it will make you conceited and arrogant. Your head will get big. How many of you have gone to or met people who have just gone to class for something that they've never had any experience in, and they finish this class and they think they know it all, even though they have no experience, and they're bragging and all that. See, knowledge without experience leads to arrogance. Paul's saying, you guys know some things. I'm going to tell you what you know, but by itself, that will lead you into trouble. But knowledge with love is the key. See, knowledge makes your head big, but love makes you got some muscles behind it, where you really are focusing on what's right. So he's going to talk about what you need to know, what God wants you to know, and how God wants you to love. And here's his gist. He's going to say these three things if you want to write down. Don't fear. Love people. Worship Jesus. Don't fear. Love people. Worship Jesus. So let's break this down. We're going to first talk about what God wants you to know. What does he want you to know about things that have pagan bad roots? Then we're going to talk about how he wants you to love. We're going to talk about how both those things affect how we make these kinds of decisions. And the theme is, don't fear, love people, and worship Jesus. So let's talk about first what God wants you to know. Verse 4. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. I want you to catch this. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for you, for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come, from whom we live, for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Here's what God is saying. Here's what you need to know. There is one God who is in charge of everything. And all those pagan idols, guess what? They're nothing. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. See, people were ascribing too much authority to these evil gods. And Paul's saying, guess what? There is one God. He's saying, well, aren't there other gods? And Paul says, even if you believe in other gods and other idols, I want you to know something. The God we worship created them all. He's in charge. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. And you are afraid of these pesky little things made out of wood. He said, don't fret. See, sometimes we get into things where we think, here's God. And here's the evil one, and here's Satan, and they're equals, and they're fighting it out. And we sure hope that God wins, because there's a battle. But you know what? Throughout Scripture, God says, don't fret. I created everything. I am in charge. We're not equal superpowers here. God is in charge of everything. In fact, if you want a little philosophical thing, this is very insightful. C.S. Lewis came up with this. He said this. He said, God is good. But anything that is evil is not evil in and of itself. The way you get evil is you try to pursue something good in an inappropriate way. The source of evil is wanting something good, but getting it in an inappropriate way. Let me explain. Murder. Behind most murder is anger and a desire for justice. Is the desire for justice good? Yes, that's godly. Is the method of killing someone to do it good? No. But evil is pursuing something good, but you're wrong. How about addictions? Alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. Behind addictions, in most cases, is a strong desire for comfort and for relief. Comfort and relief, are those good things? Yes. But the method is what makes it evil. So behind every sin, you find that it's a pursuit of something good, but in a way that actually harms yourself or other people. And God is saying the truest good is pursuing good with the good methods that I lay out. Here's what that means practically. That means Satan, the evil one, he's evil. But he was originally created good. He was an angel created by God that turned away. But he was created by God. And God is saying, do not fret. I am bigger. I am greater. And there is no power around that can affect you or me because I am in you and I am God. So here's the application. Here's what God wants you to know. Don't worry about indirect contamination. Don't worry about indirect contamination. In other words, don't worry that somehow Satan is going to affect you because something has bad roots. Later on, Paul's going to say, have the food. Eat the burger. No big deal. There's a couple exceptions I'll get into, but for the most part, have fun. Go to your friend's house. We know there's no power behind these evil idols. You know that. That's what you know. So there's freedom. So it's okay to celebrate Halloween. I'm going to get letters about this. It's okay to celebrate Christmas. If you're comfortable with your kids reading it, I'm not talking about, you can, but there's nothing inherently evil behind. If you hate an author because the author's non-Christian, you're not contaminated by reading his or her books. Makes sense? There's no spiritual, oh, God on me. Oh, no, what am I going to do? There's freedom. And Paul is saying, you have more freedom than you can ever imagine. In fact, sometimes we give Satan way too much power. we think he's more powerful than he really is. We do believe in an evil one. We do believe that there's one out there that's here to destroy you, to tempt you, to turn you away from God, to discourage you. We are absolutely 100% we believe in spiritual powers. But sometimes we believe in them to the point that we're afraid of them, and they have more authority in our lives than the power of God does. So God says, do not worry about contamination. God is bigger and stronger and more mighty. And we know that behind all this, there's nothing, because God created all. Verse 7, he says, but not everybody knows this. Some people are so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it's defiled. But then here it is. Some people don't know this, but here's your point. Verse 8, but food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat. We are no better if we do. He's saying this food that you're eating that was just sacrificed to pagan idols, guess what? It doesn't bring you far from God. It doesn't bring you close to God. Don't worry about it, because God is bigger than it all. There is freedom. There is knowledge. There is joy. And sometimes I think as Christians, we spend too much time trying to warn people of all the evils of society, and we write books about how we shouldn't celebrate this or how we shouldn't read this. And God, and Paul's saying, you are giving Satan way too much credit. Stop it. Greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. 1 John 4. Stop it. God is bigger, God is mightier, God is stronger. Now, there's going to be some exceptions we're going to talk about, but the thing we all need to know that God wants you to know is that there is no fear in contamination. So you can go to the restaurants. You can read the books. You can celebrate the holidays without fear that somehow Satan just latched onto you. Amen? Okay. That's what God wants you to know. But there are some exceptions. Verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom, in other words, you have tons of freedom in these areas, but be careful that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. There's two phrases here. Stumbling block. That actually means causing a Christian to sin. And the weak is usually a Christian, maybe a newer Christian. And he's saying, but be careful that in your exercise of this freedom, you don't make a Christian sin in the process. Well, how would that happen? For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who has this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Earlier I said what God wants you to know is don't fear. You have freedom. The second part is, but you've got to love people. And here's what Paul is saying, is that there are some Christians around us that if they see us doing certain things in our freedom in Christ, they will think, well, if that person's doing it, maybe it's okay if I sin this way. Let me give you an example. For several summers, I used to go to the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, and we'd minister in these villages. And in these villages, there was a strong addiction to gambling and drugs. People would go to the bars, they'd pull out their cards, gamble away, spend all their money, get drunk. And what would happen is that when people became Christians, they let all that go. But guess what? They saw a deck of cards. Let me ask you a question. Are cards evil? No. But for these new Christians who are giving up that lifestyle, they saw this and they thought, this is evil. This is pagan. Get away from it. So I go to Mexico and I bring a deck of cards. And I hear about this. What do I do? Do I play cards? Or do I say, I had the freedom to play cards, but I put this away and not play? I say, no. I have the freedom to play cards. But if I do this, some people might see me as a Christian and think, oh, then it's okay to gamble. It's okay to lose all my money. It's okay to get drunk in the bars. So guess what? I kept the cards in the suitcase. Make sense? So here's the other application. Adjust your behavior based on who you're with. Adjust your behavior based on who you're with. If you know that practicing some type of freedom that God has given you the privilege to do will make someone who is a young believer or a believer fall into sin, you say, I would rather give up my right to do that because I love my brother. And Jesus is saying, don't you know that I died for that person? And all you had to do was put the cards away, but instead you began to flaunt your freedom in front of him and he began to sin. Do you know how much I will hold you accountable to that? So while there is great freedom, there are a couple exceptions. The way God wants you to love is to make sure you're aware of what you're communicating to those people around you and whether or not it will cause them to sin. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that you have to be careful about whether your behavior will offend another Christian. We're not talking about offensiveness. We're talking about causing someone to actually sin. So sometimes in your freedom, you're going to say, hey, Christian brother, you don't agree with me and you're offended, but I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. I believe I can do this. You don't. We're going to move forward. But if you know it's going to affect that person in such a way that they're going to actually start sinning because they think, oh, you're giving permission to do that, that's when you give up the freedom. In my son's school, there are many families who don't celebrate Halloween. So on the costume day at our school, they actually had a special class for them where they can watch a movie instead. My kids dressed up as superheroes. And I knew that some parents might be offended, but I knew them well enough to know they're not going to go start worshiping Satan because of this. So I was okay offending them. But if I had any sense that this would cause them to lose their faith in sin, I would say, kids, take off the Halloween masks. You can't be Superman, you can't be Batman. But that wasn't the case. It was just pure offense. I'm okay with that. But what we're talking about is causing someone to sin, and in that case, you give up your rights. You say, no, I'm not going to do this. The other exception, the first is you want to love. The third exception is you want to make sure you're worshiping Jesus. In other words, it's okay to celebrate your freedom, but never, ever, ever, ever actually participate in the worship of another god or idol. See, what was happening in Corinth, not only were these guys eating the meat that was sacrificed to idols, they were actually doing it in the pagan temples as part of a religious ceremony. They're like, hey, we have freedom. We know this doesn't count for anything. But they're actually in the pagan church worshiping a god that, you know, believed in all kinds of weird things, and they're eating this meat saying, woohoo! But they don't realize their Christian brothers are outside that pagan temple thinking, oh, I guess it's okay to worship that idol. So it's okay to express your freedom, but never, ever worship anyone other than Jesus. Never fall into worship for anyone other than Jesus. So let's just be practical here. You're invited to a wedding, and it's a Hindu couple, and they've invited you to participate to their wedding service. Do you go? Yes. No problem. If at any point in the service they're asking you to worship the Hindu gods, you say, no, that's my limit. You go to a Mormon wedding. It's okay to go there? Absolutely. Go celebrate with your friends. If at any point they ask you to worship anyone other than Jesus, you say, no. That was not allowed, no. You say, no. But are allowed to participate? Absolutely, because you have freedom. But if at any point you know that a younger believer might think, oh, it's okay to be a Mormon, it's okay to be a Hindu, and I'm going to go do that, then you step back and say, I'm not going to practice my freedom if it's going to cause you to stumble. So it may look like inconsistent behavior. You may go to one wedding and not another, all because of what's around you and you're trying to be wise. See, God wants you to know that you cannot be contaminated, but he also wants you to know that because of your love for your younger brothers and sisters, you need to adjust your behavior. Don't fear. Love people and absolutely worship Jesus. Here's my concern. We have a very hurting world out there. We have people who really need to know Jesus. We have people who think that God is against them when actually he is for them and died for them. We have relationships and marriages that are broken. We have kids and adults hooked on drugs and alcohol. And sometimes we spend too much time talking about why we can't read Harry Potter. And it's a miss. It's a miss. We need to be out there. We need to be loving people. And we need to recognize that most things in our country and other countries have pagan roots somewhere. And if we are so concerned about that, we miss that God's heart is for you and for me. And Jesus, God, part of the Trinity, decided to become part of this world that's corrupted by sin. And he didn't write books about how he should never land on earth. He said, no, I'm going to come, I'm going to serve, and I will always follow my God in heaven. And that was powerful. Where he came, people were healed. Relationship restored. God granted forgiveness. And sometimes it's tempting as Christians to spend too much time on what we shouldn't do so we don't get contaminated, rather than what we should do to be the missionaries God wants us to be. So love. When I went to college, age 18, UC Berkeley, my parents were freaked out because I moved into a dormitory. It was a co-ed floor with one bathroom. It was a co-ed bathroom. Guys and girls, same thing, showers, bathroom, all in the same bathroom. Parents freaked out. Friday nights was party night on my floor. Lots of game playing, alcohol. It was just party, drug night, alcohol night. One day, it was a Friday night, I got a knock on my door and someone said, hey, your roommate's out in the hallway and he just peed in the hallway. He's drunk. So I brought him to bed and cleaned up. The place was pagan. Bad roots. This is my first week there. Second week there, two guys came in. They weren't on my floor. And I had signed up for some Christian club, and they came because they got my contact information. And great guys. They loved Jesus. They sat in my dorm room, talked to me. I was telling them about what was going on my floor, and they said this. Can we start a Bible study here? I said, I would love that. And that year, I grew more in my faith than any point up until then. And I'm so glad they didn't write a book on how I shouldn't be hanging on that floor. They said, no, we want to bring Jesus here. We don't believe that we're contaminated by this. We believe that God can make a difference in here because greater is he that is in us than he that is on this floor. And my roommate became a believer. People came to Jesus. Those are the kinds of believers you and I need to be. When we're not fretting about the power of Satan because we know the power of God. He's in us. And because of that, we have power where we go. We don't need to fear contamination. We know that God is with us and that we are strong. Now, there are exceptions. We should never worship anyone other than Jesus. That is the absolute. And we should always be cautious that we're not causing a brother or sister to actually fall into sin. Yes, some Christians will be offended by our freedom, but that who cares? We're talking about those who are actually going to sin. We need to be cautious about them and careful because love trumps our knowledge. But all in all, it's about Jesus coming to earth and making a difference in a place that has very pagan roots. But God loved us anyway and got dirty and saved us. And he's doing that for you, and he's doing that for me. He's doing that for our friends, and he's doing that for our family. And the more we think about what we shouldn't be doing because of Satan, the more it distracts us from that mission. So go and love and be free and preach Jesus wherever you go. And let them know that God decided to come here for you because he wasn't afraid of Satan. He conquered him. Amen? Amen. I just want to end with one more thing. Jesus came for you. And many of us here think that we are right with God because we were born into religion or that we're hanging around the right people or that we are good enough. And God says, neither of those reasons, none of those reasons counts for anything in my eyes. Because you are sinful, you do not have right relationship with me. But because I have come, I will give you grace, unfair love. So I want you to know, you are not saved by Jesus by your good works. You are not saved by Jesus because you were born into some type of family or religion. You were not saved because you were hanging around the right people. You are saved because you have personally said, God, I receive your grace. And if you have not done that, I want to give you that opportunity right now to start a new life where God can be in you and you can live the life he wants you to live. Amen? Let's pray for that right now. God, we are on a mission because you are on a mission. Lord, your mission made you come to earth and love us even though we were deep into sin. And rather than fearing contamination, God, you said, no, I will be good news here. And so we pray and we ask for forgiveness for all the ways our energy goes into glorifying Satan through our fears, rather than glorifying you and your power. And Lord, I want to pray for those right now who are on borrowed time. They think they're right with you because they think they're good. Or they think they're right with you because they think they were born into the right family or religion. Or they think they're right with you because they're hanging around the right people. But God, you say none of that works. And if that's you right now, I want you, and I just plead with you, do not use other people's relationship with God for your own. You need to receive God's grace. You need to accept him. You need to ask for his forgiveness. And Jesus wants to come into your heart and fill you with his spirit. And if you have not done that and you want to do that right now, you say, God, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I want this relationship to be mine and no one else's. I want to pray for you. If that's you right now, you want to start that, have a personal one-on-one you with Jesus relationship, will you just raise your hand right now while people's eyes are closed so I can pray for you? Thank you, I see you. Thank you, I see you. Anyone else? Anyone else knows they've been borrowing? Thank you, I see you. They've been borrowing other people's relationship with God and don't have their own. Anyone else? Wonderful. Let me pray for you right now. God, thank you for the hands that were raised. Lord, I just give them to you right now. They're asking right now for you to come into their hearts. So if you raise your hand, just pray this prayer between you and God. God, I need you. I want a personal relationship with you. I am sinful and I need your grace in my life. So Holy Spirit, come inside me. Make me a new person. And I give my life to you. And I want you to know, not only is God celebrating and the heavens are celebrating about your decision right now, but we as a church come around you and celebrate as well. So Edgewaters, we say amen. Let's give God a round of applause.